All right, so tonight as we look at Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, we find ourselves in the introduction part of his letter. The apostle, before giving correction and instruction to the church there at Colossae, begins his letter with a word of gratitude and thanksgiving to the church there. As I was studying this text this week, I was reminded of a story I once heard of a guy that goes up into his attic, and he's up there and he's cleaning out some of the mess that's been collected over the years and just throwing out some stuff that just has piled up. And he comes across this lamp, and he decided to keep the lamp, so he kind of was rubbing it, cleaning it up a little bit, and a genie popped out. And so the genie says, "Thank you for awakening me. Can you grant me three wishes?" Or excuse me, the genie said, "I'll grant you three wishes as a sign of my gratitude towards you." So the man says, "You know what? I want to be a billionaire. Will you give me $1 billion? Genie says, "You got it." Next wish, he said, "I want 2 Ferraris and 2 Lamborghinis. And genie said, "All right, you got it." Then the genie warned the man that, "Hey, look, this is your last wish. You know, make this one count. What's something that you really have always wanted and you just, you know, never been able to get it?" Well, the man said, "You know, there is this one thing. I've always wanted to go to the Hawaiian Islands, but because of my fear of flying, I won't set foot on a plane. I won't do it." And he said, "I want you, genie, to make a street, a highway for me right here all the way to the Hawaiian Islands so I can drive out to see the Hawaiian Islands." Well, the genie thought about it for a second. He said, "Man, you know what? That's just logistically impossible. I can't do it. It would just take too much time, too much effort. I don't have the resources. You know, what's something else that you'd really been wanting?" The man thought about it for a second. He said, "Man, you know, there is this one thing. I've been married for 30 years now. And, you know, it don't matter what I do. It don't matter how much love I show this woman. I cannot make her happy." He said, "You know, I just want to understand women." And that genie looked at him and he said, "Man, you want that a 3-lane highway or 4-lane highway? So, hey, look, on a serious note, we find ourselves here in the book of Colossians and in the introduction part of Paul's letter, and we see in that text that he gives gratitude and thanksgiving to the church there. Holly and I have been attending Emmanuel now for around 9 years, and I'm going to tell you, we love this church. We looked around for, I don't know how long it was. It had to be a couple months, and you know, to be honest with you, we were intimidated by the size of the building here at Emmanuel. We've heard of Emmanuel, we heard of Pastor Mike, and we heard great things. But, you know, we were just intimidated by the size of that building. But, you know, after visiting there and hearing the Word of God preached in such a way, we fell in love with the place, and God told us, you know, this is going to be where you call home. So we ended up there, and I just want to say all that, and I want to tell y'all guys that I'm thankful for our pastor, Mike Stone. He has blessed my family richly by the preaching of the Word of God, and I'm thankful for him. You know, there's something to the preaching when your 10-year-old, you know, points out your wrongs according to what the pastor said that Sunday. You know, there's something to it, all right? So even though I don't know all, I also want to tell you that I'm thankful for Brother Jared. You know, I don't know all what Brother Jared does. I know it's a lot. I'm not saying he's got a simple job in no way, shape, or form. I don't know what all he does, but I know that if he weren't doing it, our pastor would not have the time to prepare and study the way he does. And I'm thankful for Brother Jared. I'm also thankful for Brother Matt and the work that he does for the children there in the children's ministry. Holly and I both can testify that because of the fruits of his labor, our child Bethany received Christ at a young age. And there's no doubt in my mind that it's because of the children ministry here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for Brother Richard for his discernment and devotion to the education that's taught here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm thankful for Brother Richard. And I'm also thankful for Brother Josh. No doubt, he's been an encouragement and just a great preacher of the Word of God, and I'm thankful for you. There's no other man I'd rather hear preach than Mike Stone. Then Josh Johnson. Oh, I messed that up. Anyway, Josh Johnson, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you, brother. All right, and I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers and the volunteers that commit their time and efforts to discipling these young men and women. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful that you take your time and your efforts throughout the week to prepare and teach these young men and women. I'm thankful for you. One of my most favorite parts of Sundays is attending teachers' meeting and sitting in that room with those men and women and the wisdom and knowledge that's shared in that room. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for that time. I'm glad that Emmanuel Baptist is my home, and I'm thankful for it. Well, there are many things that I'm thankful for here at Emmanuel, and we are truly a blessed people. But as we look at Scripture tonight, and we examine what Paul found in the church at Colossae to be thankful for, I do want to point out that first, the church is not the building. And, you know, that's what Holly and I got hung up on, was that we saw this structure and we were intimidated by this, but that is not the church. When we think of the church, we think of this building that stands on a property, but that's just a building. We are the church. We as individuals are the church, and Christ is the head of it. We see later on in this same this book right here in chapter 1, Paul says that he, being Jesus, is the head over the body, the church. So what I want us to be certain of before moving forward is that Paul is showing great gratitude and thanksgiving to individuals there at Colossae that made up the church there. So as we look at the beginning of this letter to the end, we need to examine our own individual lives. You know, I'm not particularly talking about the church and the ministers tonight. I'm talking about us that make up the church. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? All right. So as students of the Word, we should always look for ways to better our lives according to what the Word of God says. Also, we need to look and see if our lives away from this building are being lived in such a way to be thankful for. So here's my question to us tonight. Would we be someone that Paul would be thankful for? So as we look tonight, I want us to see in this sermon that I've titled A Thankful Church. First, I want us to see that Paul points out their relationship. And we'll see that there in verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul gives thanks for three virtues that he identifies in verses 3 through 5. These virtues display the church has a relationship in Christ Jesus. Though Paul would later warn and even instruct them in this letter, here Paul's acknowledging some things they were getting right, some things to be encouraged by. And he was encouraged by their relationship in Christ Jesus. To be a believer in Jesus, we too will be identified by our relationship in him. Just as the Atlanta Braves baseball player would be identified by the jersey he wears, or a fireman by his uniform, or even a ballerina by her tutu, Christians will be recognized and identified by certain characteristics. So we see in this text three characteristics or virtues that we as believers are to be recognized by. First, I want us to see that we are to be recognized by our faith in verse 4. Paul confirms that the Colossians were believers because of their faith. They had placed their confidence in Jesus, and it would have been hard for Paul to have been thankful for this church if they would have not put their faith in Christ Jesus, because it would not have been a church. If they were only there because maybe their parents had drugged them along, or maybe their grandpa was a deacon at the church, or maybe that some family member had a particular influence in the church. That was not the case here. Paul was thankful that they had placed saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that, by and large, this was a group of people who had been born again by the Spirit of God. This was a church to be thankful for. You know, I share the same gratitude. I just kind of went through that. And I share the same gratitude for Emmanuel Baptist Church that, you know, predominantly the members of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I would say, have faith in Christ Jesus. Even here in this student ministry, I would say that the majority of us have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. But also, I'd also be foolish, Brother Josh, to think that everyone that comes in here or even into the sanctuary, at the main sanctuary there, have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I understand that there's going to be some tares among the wheat, and there's even going to be some bad fish that get caught in the net with the good fish. But there's a question that we must be able to answer, and that question is, what is faith in Christ Jesus? What is faith in Christ Jesus? Faith in Jesus is completely surrendering your will to His, knowing that His work at Calvary has given you redemption. But it's not merely asking Jesus to save you, it's making Him Lord over your life. And you've heard Brother Josh say that from this pulpit, and even Brother Mike from the pulpit there. It's making Him Lord over our life. Most of you are familiar with the old hymn, "I Surrender All." And in that, there's a lyric of that song that says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live." Faith is surrendering our will to His daily. But our faith is no stronger than what we place our faith in. And we as Christians should be placing our faith in Christ Jesus. I remember hearing a story of two men who were kind of adrift down a stream or in a river. And at the end of the river was a fall, and at the end of the fall was some rocks there. And if these men were to make it to the end of the fall, they would go off the edge and land on the rocks, and they'd be crushed by the impact. So some pedestrians had saw the men, you know, kind of going adrift there, and the pedestrian threw the rope. One man reached over and grabbed the rope, and he was pulled to safety. The other man saw the rope, but he also saw a log floating down the river. Well, that man grabbed the log, and you can imagine what happened after that. The man just went off the edge and was crushed. It matters what we place our faith in. That man, he made a bad mistake. He should have put his faith in the rope. And I'm telling you tonight, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can do that tonight. One characteristic of our relationship is our faith, but we also see Paul here identifying that we should be identified by our love in verse 4. The next virtue that Paul identifies in the church at Colossae was their love for all the saints. The Greek word here used for love is agape, and I didn't come here tonight to bore you with word study, I had never taken Greek. I don't, you know, but I can do a little bit of research. But this word agape here in the New Testament is displayed in two different types of love. It displays two different types of love. First, it displays men's love to one another or for each other. John 13:35 said, Jesus said, "By this all men will know you, that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." And we live in a culture who has completely made a mess of what love is. They say things like love is love or love wins. And they use the word love to hide behind while they indulge in sinful behavior of promiscuity and perversion. But that's not agape love. That is not what's described here in Colossians. But not only does it describe for men's love for one another, it also describes men's love to God. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him." The believers at Colossae not only had love for the saints, but they had love for God. And the way they expressed this love was obedience to his word. But also agape defines a divine love. And we see in the word of God, this word agape used to describe God's love to men. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says there that, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And the world has never known a greater love than this. Because of his great mercy, he looked upon us sinners and sacrificed his son on a cross so that we may be saved. Not only God's love for men, but also it shows, this word agape shows God's love to Christ. John 17:26 says this, "And I have made known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them." This word also describes God's love for his son. Lastly, it shows Christ's love to men. We read in Romans 8:35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Because of Christ's great love for us, we'll never be separated from him. Like the song sang, he holds us fast. We're inseparable from him. So what I want us to see tonight, listen, guys, you're growing up I'm sure it was wicked in the times that I grew up in, but I'm telling you guys, you were growing up in a wicked and perverse generation like no other generation. And like this word love, it matters what that means. In a culture that has tried to redefine that word, we as believers should hold fast to what the Word of God says and how it describes this word love. And I want us to know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm telling you, the world will never experience another love like this. But because of the Colossians' faith in Jesus, they had a love for his people. For me personally, some of my most favorite people were in this room tonight. I love to come to church. I love being here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays. I love church, and I love the people of it. I love the people that make it up. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest is love." You know, we'll have faith while we're on this side of eternity, and we'll have hope for an eternal life until we reach it. But we'll always have love here, while we're here, and while we're there. We'll always have love. We should love God, the Creator, and we should love his Son in which we place our faith in. And we should love our church and the saints that are in it. We should love to come and be present with other believers as the Word of God is being preached. We should love to be in Sunday school with an open Bible while someone's teaching it to us. We should love these things. And we should love being here on Wednesday nights when we open up with praise and we hear the Word of God preached. We should love that. There should be, you know, to have a love like that, there shouldn't be any kind of rumoring or backbiting or just anything uncruel. There should not be any of that taking place here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in the student ministry. You know, I'm reminded of our memory verse just a few months ago where it says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. I shouldn't remember it, but I didn't remember it. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do you have a love for the saints? Not only faith and love, but we should also be recognized by our hope. Paul also gives gratitude for the third and final virtue, hope. What is hope? Hope is an assurance. Paul was thanking the Colossians for their assurance of their salvation. They knew, these people knew they were saved. And you guys just went to a student camp this past summer where the theme was that you may know, right? You can know, right? But look, we have assurance that we're going to be saved. We have an assurance that we are saved. And the people here at Colossae were a people of assurance, a people of hope. They were a people who had been taught sound doctrine, and by faith, they were sure of their future that was laid up for them in heaven. They weren't basing this hope on the time that they walked the aisle, or they may have said a special prayer, or they had some event at a camp one time. But they were placing this hope in the faith that they had in Christ Jesus. And like I said, that faith is surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had surrendered to the Lord, so they had this hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." Just as they had heard in the word of truth, the gospel, we have a hope that's laid up for us in heaven. We've heard that in the word of truth. And I'm thankful for a church, a pastor, and ministers that preach the whole counsel of God's word. They don't skip this or that. They preach it from beginning to end and everything in between. I'm thankful for that. Because of it, we are a people of hope, and we can know where we will spend eternity. Not only do we see Paul speak about their relationship, but we also see him speak of their results in verses 6 through 7. I'm going to get some water real quick. Verses 6 through 7, and I'll read the text again just to refresh our memory here. Which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace and truth. Also, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So what we see here is Paul speaking of their results. Paul, although he had never visited visited Colossae. He'd never been there. Actually, when he's writing this letter, he's in a Roman prison cell, and the minister from the church, Epaphras, is giving him kind of a rundown on what's going on there at the church. Because of the church's faith, love, and hope in Jesus, there were godly fruits being produced in this church, and Paul's giving thanks to that right here. Paul was grateful for the relationship, but he was also thankful for the results. A couple weeks ago, Holly and I, we had a little scare. It's probably the scariest thing that we've experienced as parents so far. My middle child, Hazel, we noticed one day had a spot in the back of her head, and we took her to the pediatrician, and he informed us that he thought it was melanoma, which is cancer. And it shocked us. You can imagine, and as parents, we didn't know what to think. So So we took her to a plastic surgeon, and he gave us kind of some words of encouragement, and then the following week removed the spot, and they took the spot off, and they had to send it off to be tested. And man, I tell you what, I don't know if I've ever been so anxious for the results of something as I was for that. But anyway, it come back, it was negative. There was no cancer, praise the Lord. But, you know, I don't have this in my notes, but I want to say this. I was able to reach out in that moment to my church family, and they prayed for me. They prayed for it. And I want to tell you right now, I'm thankful for our church. Yeah. And I love each and every one of you very much. Thankful for that. All right, so in this results, we see that they were persistent. They were persistent. Verse 6, Paul points out that the gospel was constantly bearing fruit. They were not a church that had simply received the word, but they were doers of the word. I'm reminded of what Brother Josh taught in his message, So What? In his first point, he kind of gives the characteristics of the sower, and he pointed out that the sower was diligent. And we should be encouraged knowing that, I think you actually said this, Brother Josh, because it was on my mind, and I usually don't think of stuff like this, so it had to come from you. We as sowers should be encouraged knowing that we don't have the ability to save anyone. We don't have the ability to save anyone, but all we're called to do is take the message of the gospel to a lost world. God saves them. The Holy Spirit convicts them. All we have to do is share the gospel. That's all we're called to do. But we should do it with persistence. We should be diligent. We should never give up. Just because somebody don't accept it today don't mean that their life don't change and they'll accept it the next day. You know, God works, but it's up to us to take the word to them. We should be persistent. We must be determined to take the gospel. If we're going to be a people who are obedient to God's commands, the Lord's commands, then we are going to constantly be taking the gospel out of this, from this property, from this building, out into this world, into this community. And if we want to be a church to be thankful for, then we're going to be a church that's known for their persistence. Not only does he mention that they were persistent, but he also mentions that they were productive. There in the Bible, there in the text, the Bible says they were increasing. One of the results of sowing the seed of the gospel is that God will bless our efforts and we'll see the kingdom of God grow. I'm thankful to be part of a church that is a great commissioned church and who takes serious the commands of the Lord. And we are constantly taking the message of the gospel out to our community, to our nation, and to the ends of the earth. This coming Harvest Festival is an event that is focused just on that. It's focused on reaching our community. Yeah, we're going to have fun games and rides and snacks and all that. But the whole point of this event is for those who are outside of the church to come and hear the gospel so we can make those contacts and take the word of God out to those people. Can I ask you tonight, have you begun to pray over this Harvest Festival? Have you asked the Lord to bless the efforts of his people at Emmanuel Baptist Church that the gospel may go out to our community and be saved? Let me remind you of this verse. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And y'all should know that verse, right? Amen? Yeah. All right. Should be working on it anyway. I mean, it's a simple one. We should have it by now. All right. If we are to be a church to be thankful for, then we must be a church that wins souls. Not only do we see that they were persistent and productive, but we also see that they were prepared. In verse 7 there. Verse 7 says, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Paul wanted the church there at Colossae to know that their minister, their one that's teaching and preaching the word of God to them, is qualified. That he is a faithful servant of Christ. And I've already spoke on this, and I'll hit it again. Holly and I, when we were looking around, it was really when we visited the church here at Emmanuel, and when we heard the word of God being preached in such a way, we were still a little reluctant. We didn't really want to join the big church, But when I'm telling you, when we continued to visit and we heard the word of God preached in such a way, we knew that this is where we wanted to go. This is where we wanted to grow, and this is where we wanted our kids to go. And I'm thankful for Pastor Mike and his obedience to preach the word of God there. So though great preaching is essential of being prepared, so is individual Bible study and prayer. And I encourage my Sunday school class, and I'll encourage y'all tonight, we need to be people that study the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God daily. I'm reminded of this verse here in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And what a good word it is. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that every man may be adequately equipped for every good work. The word of God equips us. It prepares us. It's through the preaching and our own personal study that we are prepared. We must take the scripture seriously, knowing that by the words written in this book, we will be prepared and produce results that we'll be thankful for. So we see in the text not only their relationship, their results, but lastly we see the report. Verse 8 here. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit? And I don't have any sub-points, so if you're looking, I don't have sub-points for my last point. I only have one point. It's kind of my closing point. So, it wasn't just a few weeks ago that Luke, my youngest son, started school at Midway Elementary, and he's the only one of our three kids that's attending public school right now. And we were a little reluctant to do that at first, but we just kind of decided that this season of life, we need to put Luke in public school. So Luke's teacher has a system set up where she sends home a report every day of, behavior and how they worked out that day, their performance. And what she does is she'll identify the ratings in these behaviors by, a red sad face or green smiley face, and then it's orange and yellow as it progresses to green. So that first week that we put him in, at Midway there, it was the second day and he'd already had two red smiley faces. So yeah, you're talking about, questioning your decision making there. We were scratching our heads on that one. Well, my man got two red faces, but We ended up getting it figured out. He ended up getting it figured out, and he got comfortable, and he kind of got, used to the system there. And anyway, he's doing better. Yep, amen. But the Apostle Paul here, like I said, he, bound in chains in a prison cell, was evaluating the church at Colossae, and he was evaluating the information that he was receiving from Epaphras. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, Brother Josh. Anyway. Amen. The apostle had joy and gratitude for the relationship and the results that were evident in the believers at Colossae. I wonder what the apostle Paul would say about the manual student ministry. Would he be thankful for our faith in Christ Jesus? Would he be able to hear about our love for the saints? Would he be able to hear of the hope that we hold to? Would it be a report of productivity and persistence? Would he be grateful for the light that shines out of this ministry? Would it be a green smiley face or a red sad face? Well, we know that Paul's not going to give a report to us like that. But I want y'all to know tonight, students, y'all listen to this. If y'all don't hear anything else, Romans 14:12 says this, that we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of ourselves before him. Well, this is my prayer for you guys, that on that day, that we will be able to point to our relationship in Christ Jesus. That our results will be one to be thankful for. And that Jesus himself will say, good job, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that we will be a thankful church.